The scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. Then the Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness so the devil might tempt him. After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was starving. The tempter came to him and said, "Well, since you are God's son, command these stones to become bread." Jesus replied, "It's written, people won't live only on bread, but by every word spoken by God." After that, the devil brought him into the holy city and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down, for it is written, I will command my angels concerning you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you will not hit your foot against a stone." Jesus replied, "Again it is written, don't test the Lord your God." Then the devil brought him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said, "I give you all these if you bow down and worship me." Jesus responded, "Go away, Satan, because it is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil left, and angels came and took care of him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be. Well, I was reading a commentary by N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright is a theologian out of the United Kingdom. And N.T. Wright tells a story of a woman who had run as an MP, ran for, you know, their legislature. This woman who ran for parliament, she said that she must have told him she all the way through had her ideals, and she was. And when someone first said you should run as an MP, she was excited about changing the world and changing lives and making a difference. And she had all of these things that she wanted to accomplish. Throughout the beginning of the campaign, she said over and over again, she found herself excited about what she could do with this position. But the last week or so of the campaign, it was brutal. You know, shaking those hands and getting out of the communities and getting those signs up, all the things that politicians have to do. And when the campaign was all over and she won the seat in parliament, she told N.T. Wright that she went out into the woods. She had to get away for a little bit. She went on a hike. Have any of you ever just gone off on your own to clear your head, to prepare yourself, to center yourself? She went out on a hike. And as she walked and as she thought, she realized that those ideals at the beginning had transformed into something else at the end of the campaign. She realized that something had crept into her mind. She had voices that had been telling her other things. People who began intimating the things she could get for herself if she won this position. People talking about trading favors, and she began thinking about what she could get as a minister of parliament as much as she was thinking about what she could give to other people. There were these voices talking to her, these voices from around her that were leading her in another direction. We could say tempting her, if you will. In the scripture today, Jesus is led up out into the wilderness. And aren't there voices telling him things? The devil is saying, "You should do this, you should do that." What good is all this power if you won't just do some things for yourself? much like that MP in England. I think all of us, I know all of us go through this in some way or another, because even Jesus went through something like this. I think all of us find ourselves sometimes in the wilderness. Not out on a peaceful hike getting ourselves centered, but out in the world, in this rough and tumble world where things don't always go the way we think they ought to. In this world where people are sometimes suggesting through words or actions that we ought to take what we can get, that we should do something for ourselves. Maybe you've not experienced someone actually telling you you should get something for yourselves, but have any of you ever watched TV? Any of you? Anyone? A couple of you have watched television before. Now, those of you who are under a certain age don't know as much about commercials as the rest of us. My kids, when commercials started coming on the streaming stuff, they're like, wait, but why'd you, no, I want it to come back. Yeah, we all do. Commercials. Aren't commercials just always telling us what we need for ourselves? Buy this, do this, get this, be this. If you just get this thing, you will feel better about yourself and your life will be better and everything will be easier. And by the way, when you get that thing, does it ever turn out that you have more time on your hands or that things are particularly better? No. We are surrounded by a society that messages us that things will be better if we do things for ourselves. I wish I could say that I'm immune. You know, I was thinking about that MP. I was thinking about the MP and that process of campaigning and getting elected into office. And as I thought about it, I began to think about the process of becoming a pastor. I would like to tell you that it's an angelic process that always goes smoothly and nicely, and your heart is always on other people from beginning to end. But it's not. Throughout the process, there was a point at which, early on when I felt this call to ministry, that it began, that it was just purely about something I wanted to do for other people. But as I think back on the process of becoming a pastor, there was certainly a time, probably right before seminary, that I also became a little bit enamored with what the position of pastor could do for me, or for my family, or for my church, or voices telling me, tempting me with what I could get with a position of power or influence. The good people of my first few churches, if I wasn't already disabused of that notion, I was within the first church or two. You can't stay in ministry if you're going to make it all about yourself. Or if you do, you're going to struggle. One of the things I've learned in ministry is that those voices are always there. So long as we're in the wilderness, and this world can be the wilderness sometimes. Even our congregations can be a wilderness sometimes when you're a pastor. There are moments. When you got people like this. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So I've had to seek out over time people that help balance those voices out. You see, I think as people of faith, when we are out in the world, and when I say that generally, I don't mean that all places beyond these walls are bad. What I mean to say is there are places where we find ourselves hearing those voices, those worst parts of ourselves being spoken. But we also have a choice to find a group, a place, a people who speak words that point us toward our best selves. Now, for me, that has been certainly this congregation the last year now. But also for me, clergy colleagues, a group of people that I can turn to and talk to and who can speak to me, things that I need to hear. I imagine that each one of you have people like that in your lives. We will never get rid of having the wilderness, if you will. There will always be times when we are out alone and feeling vulnerable and we are hearing all the wrong things. It happens when we're in school. It happens at work. It happens out in our communities. There will be times when we feel like we're in the wilderness. But we can always choose to come home to a place where we feel surrounded by community, not alone, and where scripture and love and compassion and faith surround us. I already told you that for me, that very much has been this congregation, and it's my clergy group. For you, I hope that it's this congregation. But one way or the other, I want you to find a place where you have all the right voices, or at least a lot of right voices, a place where you find compassion and love, a place where you hear scripture and you know that you can pray. Perhaps that's spending time with family. Perhaps it's a group of friends. Beyond this church family, beyond this congregation, seek out people who help you leave the wilderness and come back. In the Bible, what happens? In this scripture, it says that Jesus was in the wilderness. All of these things happened. He had the devil saying all of these things to him. And at the end, the devil left. I wish it were so easy. And the angels came and took care of him. But after this scripture is over, what happens? What happens? Well, the angels came, but after that, once the angels come and Jesus is being taken care of, he goes out of the world, he goes back to society, and what does he do? He finds himself along the Sea of Galilee, and there are some fishermen, and what does he do? He starts gathering disciples, building community, pulling together the voices that will shape his ministry. People that needed to hear him, but also people that he needed to hear. And that group, those disciples walked together as a group. They took care of each other. They fortified one another. They lifted one another up when they were having a bad day, and they reminded one another of the joys and blessings of God. Over and over again, this group held together. I think that's our model. We live in a world that will often have the wrong messages. And we will have times when we feel alone and vulnerable or even hurt or on hard times. But if we want to leave that wilderness, even if it's just for a moment or two or an hour on a Sunday morning, we go back to our community. We join with other disciples. We read scripture. We say prayers. We hear the word proclaimed. We sing songs with joy, and we hear the angelic choir. In that lonely wilderness that left us feeling perplexed, turns into a compassionate community that leaves us feeling fulfilled.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for all that you have already done in our lives. We pray for this congregation that we would look on our blessings for all the times that this congregation has already surrounded us in love. But we would also seek after new ways to support one another and love one another and share your compassion with the world. In your holy name we pray. Amen.